Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 133. Yes, 133. The trying to stay healthy episode. I'm trying not to get the flu. No one here has the flu, but we kind of put off getting our flu shots, which is to say it has been on my to-do list for a while. And then finally, right around the time I actually got on it, the flu has hit this area really hard, so we're working really hard not to get it. We've gotten our shots. We got them last week. The man always gets his at work, and that was one of the deals for me, is like our doctor was out of them, and I was not aware that we could just go to Target or CVS. I thought that you had to be 18 or older, and the Department of Health, which is where we've gotten our shots in the past, their hours for flu shots are 8:30 to 3:30. Really helpful to the people with children who need flu shots. So the good news is somehow I stumbled onto the fact that CVS, yes, you can get shots there. So we got them. And now we're just washing our hands. I'm actually paying Will to wash his hands at school. I think he's pretty honest. So I just said, be honest. I'll give you a dollar every time you wash your hands. And he's the first day came home and he had washed them 6 times. And Friday, 4. So it may go down. I feel like next week, this week, in the middle of this week, will at least be covered. It takes 2 weeks for the shots for the antibodies to really be in full force. But what we've been told is if we get the flu this coming week, a week after we've gotten the shot, that we might, we'll still feel it, but won't get the terrible effects and won't get a pneumonia. I'm actually apparently the one who needs to watch out. It's people, middle-aged people and young adults, me being more middle-aged than young adult, who are getting hit really hard. And in fact, my hairdresser, my hairstylist, the woman who cuts my hair, Brooke, her boyfriend had to go to the hospital because he got so dehydrated from throwing up. Yes, so I'm a little concerned about the flu, and it's Sunday, by the way. January 18th, I think, is around there. Maybe the 20th, something. Let me see. Yes, Friday was the 17th, so it is the 19th. Tomorrow's the 20th. It's Martin Luther King Day, and I'm supposed to go downtown to help with this big book harvest thing. I'm like, wow, going to be exposed to germs. I think I'm just going to go for a very short period of time. I'm like there's an author's circle for the book harvest organization in our community, and I'm one of the authors. I actually got from my hairstylist, Brooke, some rubber gloves, some latex gloves I'm going to bring with me. So I'm paranoid. I really don't want to get sick. And I have been washing my hands and carrying hand sanitizer with me. So yes, we are trying very hard to stay healthy because I don't want to have to go to the hospital because I'm dehydrated from the flu. So given that, how are you? I am fine. I am so far, although it's so funny. It's like when I went to get my hair cut yesterday and Brooke was telling me about her boyfriend, I immediately felt like I was coming down with the flu. And came home and felt like for an hour like I had the flu. Not that, like I was getting it, not like I had it. Even though the way I was feeling isn't really how getting the flu feels. And the flu, usually comes on pretty quickly. Anyway, I'm just silly. What am I up to? Well, I have news. Now, it's been a couple weeks since my last podcast, since my last confession. And for the first week, well, really like the first half week after that last episode, I was doing a lot of quilting, and I talk about that in the first quilt diary, just all kinds of different projects, a lot of chain piecing. And I talk about this in the second quilt diary. I kind of slowed down because of weather and coldness and chilliness and knittiness. So in fact, if you go to the website, theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, you will see a picture of the sweater I'm working on. Although I may also have another picture to show you, not, I'm sad to say, of a finished quilt, but it was the day before yesterday, I was looking at my mosaic blocks and I was counting them and I made this diagram. I'm like, all right, how many of these things do I need? And I needed 41. And guess what? Guess how many I have as of today? 41. I actually had 41 when I counted. I have about 4 blocks, which are not blue. And one is like an aquamarine, a couple are like a dark purple batik, and one is a mix of colors, purplish colors. And I don't know if they're going to work. So I went ahead and made three more, just blue blocks. Obviously, these are really blue and white. And it may be that when I get everything laid out that I'm going to want, it might be nice to have a surprise color just popping out in the middle of nowhere, a little purple or something. We shall see. But yes, I've got them. And now I have 10 white blocks cut out. You know, I'm alternating. And I have 30 more. I need a total of 40. And I think there will be some very serious border action going on. I believe I need 14 inches of borders on both sides, so I will do something. I don't know. Have fun with it. Just go to town. But I'm just done. I'm done making the blocks. So thank you to everyone who made the blocks possible by sending me blue fabric. It's kind of fabulous to think this is, you know, something that we all share in together. So I have to say, there's a lot of work ahead because got to cut out the white blocks, which is not obviously a problem. I don't think I have enough white fabric. So my first fabric purchase of 2014 will be a bunch of white. I use a lot of white fabric, so as do a lot of us. So that's not a big deal, but several yards of white fabric just to cover all my white fabric needs. So that, you know, I've got to do that. And then laying it all out. It's big. It's going to be really big. And getting, you know, these are all different shades of blue and figuring out where I want stuff to be. And Travis walking all over it because I'll have to do this on the floor. And yes, Travis walking back and forth over the blocks. Maybe I'll do it upstairs and close the door. I don't know. But anyway, isn't that exciting? Finally, finally, finally done with those blocks. And I think the quilt will be fabulous. And I'm ready for a new quilt on my bed since the one on my bed now has been on there for really quite a long time, maybe even 3 years. And it is time. It is time for a new quilt. So, yay. Yay. Now, let's see. I want to say thank you to everyone who commented on the last episode, not last week's, but the last episode, starting with Terry, who now, by the way, I'm doing Fitbit, and Terry's one of my Fitbit friends, and man, does she get some steps in. But I have three Fitbit friends, I think Terry, Sherry, and I think Gretchen is my fourth friend, and I'm number two, woo! And that's a weird thing about this Fitbit stuff, is all of a sudden you're competing against your friends, and I'm like, why? I don't want to compete, I want to cooperate with my friends, not compete against them. But there you have it. Anyway, so heard from Terry and Mary Sarah, heard from Carol, and got such nice comments about my Christmas quilt. Thank you very much. I hated taking it down, and I didn't take it down until last week. So I was like, oh, this is so sad. I really enjoyed looking at it. So anyway, heard from AJ Dub, more nice things about the Christmas quilt. Heard from Kelly the Fifth. And heard from Kelly and, I guess, I don't know who else said that, someone. But anyway, Kelly said that she did not know that applique pressing sheets were used the way I described. Who knew? Yeah. I'm glad I could share that. I knew something that Kelly the Fifth did not know. That amazes me. Anyway, so I'm glad that that was a helpful thing. And heard from Quilting Piece by Piece, and she pointed out that there's a difference between applique pressing sheets and pressing cloth. And APS is slick, so you can iron and the glue won't leave where it's supposed to be or adhere to what it's not. But a regular pressing cloth is something you use between the iron and a sensitive fabric to keep it from scorching. So, yes, there. Put simply in a way that I could never express because that was straightforward, and I don't really do straightforward. Heard from the wonderful Jay, art quilt maker. Heard from Jane, who also did not know about the applique pressing sheet. So there you have it. Sandy. Heard from Sandy Caldwell from Quilt Cabana. And Tori, who understands my issues with 15501 state, it's, I guess it's state highway, is it? No, it's route. Anyway, She went to Duke, and her wonderful daughter Katie went to NC State. Obviously, they were not in these institutions at the same time, but Tori is familiar with this area. Heard from BB in Colorful, Colorado, who had some thoughts on Joann's versus Hancock's, and agrees with me, or not agrees, but my opinion was, I think these things must be store by store as to quality, and she thinks so too. She has a very nice Joann's near her. And then heard from Bermuda Girl, who is catching up with podcasts, mine and let's see, she's already caught up with Sandy and Susan over at History Susan. I'm going to pause. The History Quilter podcast. That's what I thought it was. Anyway, and have not heard from Susan in a while, so I'm assuming that things are really busy with her teaching and etc. So I hope it all is okay, because I miss hearing Susan's voice. Anyway, but the comment was simply that she was up to date with Susan and Sandy, but is getting caught up with my old ones, and it's has a very big time warp effect, which I get. And thank you for your congratulations on my Christmas quilt. Yes, I need to do another applique quilt, but first I must finish mosaic quilt, finish the paper piecing, my circle of geese. And what I may do tomorrow is finish quilting the Irish chain, the red and white Irish chain, because it's so close to being done. I need to get back on the quilting wagon and practice, and then I think my plan is to finish the circle of geese, because that also then needs to be quilted, and more quilting practice for me. So yes, I think that is it for the things I want to say beforehand. I do talk in my second quilt diary about Gone Girl, which I just finished and very much enjoyed. I fear that maybe I said some spoiler things, or one thing in particular that's a spoiler. And if you're like one of the 20 people in this country who have not read Gone Girl and think you might read it, when I start talking about it, maybe you should just stop listening. Unfortunately, of course, I started going on about it toward the end of like a 20-minute quilt diary. I was like, oh, gosh, have I blown it? And then am I really going to re-record all this stuff? I was like, no, I'm not. So, just a warning to you. Spoiler alert. It's not a huge spoiler, but it's a little bit of one. Anyway, I did enjoy the book. So, I'm going to end here. So my pictures on the blog, I have a picture of my sweater, and I do think I may try to pile up all my mosaic blocks or fan them out in some way that is artistic and try taking a picture. I don't know. I probably should not, but maybe I will. And yes, that is it. That is it for now. Let us get on then with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, day one. It's Monday, January 6th. I'm sitting in the front room, my room, the big L, where I have taken over for my sewing and my writing and my dog scratching. Travis is here with me. If he thinks he hears a squirrel, he will start barking and yelling. We have a lot of squirrels, period. And then for Christmas, I think my favorite Christmas present was a bird feeder. Supposedly a squirrel-resistant bird feeder, but that has not proven to be the case. Man, we have big, fat squirrels around here. They're actually very cute, but I'm not thrilled about them eating the bird feed. But he goes, when he sees one out on the feeder, he'll go after it. He's a really good squirrel watchdog. So, yeah, now he's primed. Right before Christmas, we had a possum on the porch. I may have mentioned that. And, oh, ever since that night, Travis is like, he's patrol dog. There are critters out there, and he's going to get them. He's really not. But so it's Monday the 6th, and it is cold. It may be cold where you are as well. It's going to be really, really cold tomorrow, and then it'll be back to normal. Really, really cold for us is 25, and that is super cold. I've been in much colder weather, but I don't remember it. It's like childbirth. Can't remember it. It's going to be miserable. Not doing childbirth again, but I guess I'm doing 25 degrees again. So I have been quilting a lot. I am quilting. I'm like the promiscuous quilter. It's like the yarn harlot, right? I am working on all these projects at once. I'm doing a lot of chain piecing, so I'm working on the mosaic quilt. I am making some baby quilts, not because I'm having a baby. I don't even have any friends who are having babies. I have some baby quilts that are owed. I'm also thinking about trying to sell some stuff this year. More pot holders. I was thinking about that. I've been, this is a big, this will be a big side thing, but we are trying to save some money. There's stuff, there's landscaping stuff we want to do and some other projects. And so we're cutting back on some expenses and also looking for other ways to earn so that we can do some of the big projects that we want to do. It may take a while to save up the money we want to do them. But anyway, so the man and I have been talking about an Etsy shop, and actually I think we would need two because one of the projects we're talking about is getting Will into the business of building bee motels, which are really cool. And for some reason, I've started seeing them all over the place. So people are clearly interested. People are worried about the bees. The bees are having a hard time, and the more places we can create for the bees to rest and be happy and get their pollen, etc., the better. So anyway, so we've talked about that. Will's also always looking for ways to make money. And my thought was maybe I'll make some baby quilts and some pot holders. I think there could be a huge funky pot holder market. I don't know. I need to explore that more on the Etsy site, but it just sounds fun. You know, I have stuff here. I don't want to go and, you know, make a great investment in fabric for to you know for new for quilts to sell, but I feel like I have a lot of fabric, so the idea would be using fabric I have and making stuff. We'll see. It's one of those New Year's ideas that you get very excited about at the beginning of the year and then sort of lose steam for, and that could really happen. But nonetheless, I do have some fabric to play with, and so I'm doing some pinwheels, which I enjoy and simple to do, but I'm doing a lot of chain piecing. And yeah, but it's fun, you know, and it's all very, right now, everything I'm doing is very, just feels construction-esque, you know, what's the word? Conveyor, quilt, you know, the quilt conveyor where you're just cutting and ironing and sewing and cutting and sewing and iron, you know, and it's just, and nothing's really coming together yet because you have so much of that work to do, but it's fun. I watched this past weekend, rewatched the third season of Downton Abbey and recalled how awful that was. And of course, we watched last night the premiere of season four, which, you know, it's still, I mean, it's still such a soap, but I think it seems like they're reining in the drama a little more. So we're not gonna, you know, they don't have to kill off any characters. They may kill off some characters, but they don't have to kill off characters because the actors are leaving. So maybe we can just make this a domestic drama. Sort of domestic upstairs, downstairs drama that it's supposed to be. I don't have great hopes. The first season was great, and it probably should have ended then, but it didn't. So here we are, still watching, still complaining. But that was fun over this weekend, just to watch, you know, have something going on in the background, and to sew and iron and have a good time and dream. And dream, yes, I'm dreaming too. So, and I did have the thought. I got a very nice comment from Jay, art quilt maker Jay, on last week's episode, and she said she was looking forward to getting back to work on the sampler quilt, as am I. I thought, you know, I guess I could probably actually do the paper piecing now that we had started, which was the thing that really got me off the sampler quilt pony. So I might give that a try this week. I'll let you know, Jay. I should probably do that because I need to have pictures to post. Right now, I have pictures of lots and lots of half square triangles. My life is a half square triangle. I finally made myself take down my Christmas quilt that was the last piece of Christmas still hanging up, and I made myself do it today. And now I need to make a quilt for that spot. The quilt I got out of storage, the quilt, my first Thimble Pleasures quilt when I took quilt school one, my quilt that was put in the corner at my first and probably last quilt show. And it's actually, it works very nicely with the colors of the kitchen and the breakfast nook. So it's nice that Will really likes it. You know, it's funny, the border, the big border, the 3-inch border is K facet. And Will has a super eye for color. And so he came in and he said, "Oh, I like that quilt. I really like the border." You know, he's like, "That's really cool." So, you know, it's like the wildest colors and color way. So I have something up there, but I'd like to get something new, but one thing at a time. And I'm just happy to be working. I'm working on finishing up a first draft of a novel, and I'm actually fairly close. It's something I've worked on for a long time, on and off, and I really should have a draft ready to send to my editor by the end of the month. So it's nice, you know, it's nice to be done with the holidays. I enjoy the holidays, but when they're over and everything's packed up, it's like, it's nice to have my house back. The boys went back to school today, and you know, so we're back in our routine, and it's the routine you're so horribly sick of by the time the holidays roll around and are so glad to be shed of, but now it's good to have it back. And I don't actually have to fly anywhere until April, and so I have, and I don't really have a lot going on in January at all, so it's nice to have a big chunk of time that I can devote to writing and quilting and pruning fig trees and getting the yard ready for spring. Now it's very, very cold right now, but you know, our average temperature this time of year is about 50, which, as long as the wind isn't too cold, is actually very nice for working out in the yard. And so the man and I are already discussing our big garden plans for the spring, and we're going to be building a fence around the big, big garden. We have a little garden, which is already fenced and with raised beds, and then we have the big, big garden, which just had a short rabbit fence, and the rabbit figured out how to get over that fence. We have found where the fence is, I mean, it's just like a foot and a half of chicken wire, and the rabbit figured out how to kind of plow through that, and that is why we have not had the wonderful brassicas, the cabbage, the cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, carrots, which are not brassica, but vegetables you can grow in the fall. The rabbit got them. So we are going to build a real fence around the big garden, and also build some raised beds for the marshier part of the garden. So we're excited. So, you know, it's nice just to have a clear calendar in that way, where it's like not traveling, not doing anything out of the ordinary. You know, I felt like I traveled a lot in the fall, and not doing some local things, work-wise, school visit-wise, lecture-wise, but only one big up-into-the-air kind of thing. I'm going to Missouri, of all places, which should be interesting. Anyway, I will end here with actually some very good news. I just talked to my mom, and she had a PET scan, and she is in remission, which is very, very exciting. We didn't know if we would get to this place or not. She did. She's tough. She fought the good fight, and she is now, we're all now really, really excited for this to be over, hopefully forever. She was saying she didn't know if lymphoma is really, truly ever over forever. Apparently some are. Some can pop back up, but nonetheless, hers has not. It's at least gone for now, and hopefully just realizes there's no use. There's no fighting my mom. So anyway, I wanted to share that good news with you. And I certainly have appreciated all your support through the last 5-6 months. It's weird. It's not really been that long of a time, but it feels like it's been such a long time. Okay, I'm going to go do some quilting work, and I'll get back with you. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's been a while, a week. It is Friday, January 17th, 2014. And last we spoke, I had been quilting up a storm, promiscuously, I believe was the term that I used. And that came to kind of a grinding halt midweek last week. I think it had a lot to do with the weather. And you know, I do not complain about the weather. And the weather, in fact, we've had a lot of weather so far in 2014 that's to be commended. We have had our fair share of commendable weather. Like today, right now, the skies are clear, they're a beautiful blue, and it's going to be in the mid-50s. And that is not atypical for a typical North Carolina winter. You know, usually this time of year, you're going to see in the mid-40s. And it's not unusual to get a lot of cloudy, rainy weather. And we've had that. And last week we had that by the bucket load. And so it was cold. And you know what I did? I knit.
Let me just confess. I know we have amongst us Sandy quilting with the rest of us. Quilting for the rest of us, I should say. We have some non-knitters in our midst. Sad but true. But I also know we have knitters. Yay! There are those of us who are a little ambidextrous when it comes to our crafting, and we don't just quilt, but we knit. Now, I am these days much, much more of a quilter. But when the weather is cold and gray and gloomy, there is something about curling up in a chair with some yarn and some needles and going to town, and it just feels good. It feels right. I also got this idea in my head. You know, I'm Miss Frugality this year, just not buying anything. You know, so far it's the 17th of January, and I have not bought anything but groceries. So I think I'm going to try to get through the end of the month, just having a really clean month. But I am, as I believe I discussed last time, on a budget. And I thought, well, you know, I'd like to do some knitting. And a couple of years ago, I started a sweater. My mother-in-law gave me the yarn for Christmas. I started the sweater. It was Downton Abbey time, and season two. And the sweater is called Aidez. I got the pattern on Ravelry. It's Aidez. It is sort of a loose-fitting, not unstructured sweater, but it has cables. And the cables create this kind of vine going up the back. And what's neat is that while if you look at the pattern at first, you think, oh my goodness, this looks really hard, but it's not. You know, cables are not hard. They are so cool looking and fancy looking that you would think that they would be, but they're really not. And the neat thing about this pattern is that it has sections which are very easy and mindless, and then sections that you have to pay attention during. And I like that because sometimes you want a little mindless knitting, but too much mindless knitting, sometimes you just start getting bored sometimes. And so this is every other row, you're just kind of knitting across in a pretty, or purling in a very easy way, in which you don't have to look at the pattern. The pattern, what's going on with the stitches on your needles tells you what to do. So that's nice. And on the right side of the sweater, you have about 30 stitches of cabling, a little demanding, but on either side, 25 stitches of just straight knitting or purling. Easy peasy. So it's a really fun pattern. So this is 2 years ago. I started it up. I almost finished the back. I got up to the armholes. And, you know, I was very good about keeping track of where I was. And in fact, I must have knew I was going to pick up another project. I wrote down on a post-it note what row of the cable pattern I was in. Because I knew, you know, especially when you have Will around your house who really likes my little row counter clicker thing. So if he sees it, he will give it a click. So I'm always really good about checking what row I'm on at any event, but since I knew I was leaving this piece of knitting for a little while, I wrote down what row I was on. And I had that post-it note for a long time, but I never went back to the pattern. So I thought, well, you know, I feel like knitting. I'd like to knit a sweater, but I don't want to buy new yarn. But I don't remember exactly what's going on in this pattern. And I can't find my little post-it note. And even if I could, it's been long enough that I can't quite remember what's going on. So you know what? I unraveled almost the entire back of the sweater. And what I told myself and what is true is I am a process girl. So it did not hurt. You know, I thought, what if this hurts to unravel? What if it physically pains me to unravel this? I'm like, you know, I bet it won't. And it hasn't. It didn't. And now, I don't know, I've probably knit about 10 inches. I'm putting a picture on the blog over at my WordPress site, theoffkilterquilt.com, so you can look at it. It's dark gray. It's thick dark gray wool, and we'll see if I finish it. But that I have been working on that for about a week. Now, last week, I'll tell you, here's the thing that's interesting to me. Again, you know my motto, knitting is sitting, quilting is moving. And I am less and less able to sit for long periods of time. And part of it has to do with sort of my hips get sore. You know, I'm a writer. So, well, in my big dream, I want to get a treadmill desk. I am saving up. They're about $1,500. I've saved up some of my Christmas money, and I'm going to save up. I just, you know, I'm being frugal, but some of that money needs to go into various household projects and school tuitions and what have you. So it may take me a little while to save up for my treadmill desk, unless, you know, I win a big prize or get an unexpected publishing contract or something. I don't know. I mean, sometimes in my life, you know, something good will happen. Cheerios. We've talked about Cheerios, right? One of my books is coming out in Cheerios this spring. So sometimes something like that comes along, and if something else like that came along, I might get a treadmill desk, because I just, if I sit a long time, my hips really start bothering me. And I'll tell you, this weekend I finished up a draft of a new book, yay, which I sent to my editor on Tuesday, yay. And Saturday, I usually don't write on Saturdays, except if I am under a deadline or I'm really kind of in this really good place and I don't want to take a break. And that's where I was. I was so close to finishing this draft. And so I wrote for about 6 hours on Saturday, which is a long writing session for me anyway. I usually don't work more than 3 hours. So I worked for 6 hours sitting. And then I got up, and it was a really rainy, rainy day. It was actually not a cold day, but we got a big storms coming through. So it wasn't a day I was going to get outside and do some work. But I, you know, I moved around a little bit and did this, did that, and then I curled up in a ball and knit, and you know, and Sunday I was just like, oh, oy vey, I gotta move. But you know, I still, so you would think, well, this week then I would just been quilting away, but I haven't been, and you know, part of it, I have to say, I have got some allergies. So does Will, and I don't know. I started getting them in mid-December. In fact, I had just come back from a school visit, so I was convinced I was sick, and I was mad because I'd gotten something in some kind of bug in November. I don't even remember now what, you know, Will brought something home, got sick. It was around Thanksgiving, too, so I was not happy. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be sick for Christmas. But then I realized, I was like, you know, this feels more like allergies because my eyes were really red. So I started taking my allergy medicine. I take the generic Claritin that, you know, you can get. You have to go to the pharmacist and say, can I have the generic stuff? But it's the real stuff, but it only costs like $8. It's very cool. And so I started taking it again. I usually take it every morning in the spring if my allergies start to bother. But I started taking it, and my allergies kind of cleared up. And then being mean, being dumb, I stopped taking it for a few days, because I felt fine, and then they came back, and you know, and I feel fine. I feel a little bit tired. You know, if you get allergies, you can start feeling tired, and by the end of the day, it's cold, my eyes are itchy and scratchy, and I'm just kind of tired. So I've been doing a lot of reading and then doing some knitting, but not so much quilting. I don't know. I may have to go to the doctor and go to an allergist and figure out what this is, and maybe the stuff I'm taking is you know, Claritin. I have a friend who Claritin doesn't work for her, and she does the Zyrtec, and maybe I need to switch and see if that will work for me and make a difference. So anyway, but that's, so I just have not been, you know, by the end of the day, and some of, I think it's half allergies and half winter. You know, I, like a lot of people, I get very hibernate-y in winter. Yes, hibernate-y. That's my adjective of the day. So it's partly that, you know, a lot of times this time of year, you just kind of, at the end of your day, you just kind of want to curl up and read and cover up with a quilt. You know, thinking about the knitting is sitting, quilting is moving thing, I got a Fitbit for Christmas, and I have been shooting for 10,000 steps a day. It's very hard if the weather is horrible. You know, and I don't like walking on the treadmill at the gym. Now, I don't know. If you do Fitbit, you have to tell me. If you do, I can't. I feel like the pedometer is registering steps by registering pressure, the pressure of your foot hitting the ground. So I'm not sure that doing the ellipticals, I would get steps on my Fitbit. I mean, obviously, getting steps on the Fitbit is not really the whole point. It's just getting exercise. So I should go do the ellipticals anyway. But it rained some point this week, and I went to the gym and did the treadmill, but I didn't. I'd find walking on the treadmill boring. I find walking in the real world, I mean, that's one of my favorite things to do. I love to walk. So anyway, I'm interested to see when I get kind of back into the quilty spirit of things, how that will register on my Fitbit steps. My plan is tomorrow, it's Saturday, we have a 3-day weekend, yay! And I'm hoping, all I have scheduled is a haircut at 11. I'm kind of hoping I'm going to have a quilty day. I'm shooting for that and get my quilting done during the day. And then at night I can curl up in a ball, and take a little nap or what have you. But I haven't had a good quilty day in a while. So that's my hope. Get caught up on my podcast listening and watch a movie and work on quilts. I'll let you know. And I'm going to end up here because my hope is to post this tomorrow. Now, you know, I often have dreams of posting podcasts and it doesn't happen for another week, but that's kind of my hope. I already have a picture of my knitting up on a draft of the blog post for the next episode. So all I have to do is record the beginning. I've gotten lots of great comments, which I appreciate. Let me think if there's anything else I want to tell you. I just finished reading Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn. Little late on that, I know. You know, by the way, I liked it a lot. The ending was interesting. I don't want to spoil it for the three people left in the country who have not read Gone Girl. I know a lot of people really disliked the ending. It is in some ways not an emotionally satisfying ending. I did not find it, it didn't give me what I wanted as a reader, but I believe the author made a choice that was legitimate and made sense. And I think for a lot of people, they wanted it to end another way. I wanted it to end another way. But if you read the book again or look through, I'll have to say, if you haven't read this book, this will make no sense to you. But it's a husband and wife narration, back and forth, back and forth. The husband is crazy too. We know that the wife is crazy. The husband is crazy too. That's what you have to remember. It's easy to forget at times that he is, but he is. So I think that justifies how the book ends. I hope I haven't spoiled anything. Maybe I have. Sorry. I put off reading it because so much made it sound so dark. And, you know, I can only do so much darkness. I really can. And I can do, you know... darkness, like, you know, one of the things I gave the man for Christmas, which we have not watched yet, is the entire Wire series. That's an interesting thing to have to say. The Wire, the whole thing, which we watched. I'm not sure that I ever saw the complete second season, but we've watched it before, but we've been talking about wanting to watch it again. And it's such a good show, and it's dark, but is there psychological darkness? There is psychological darkness in it as well. But that kind of darkness doesn't disturb me the way that some psychological, domestic darkness, and particularly, you know, it's like I don't read the Patricia Cornwell books. I remember starting one a long, long time ago. And there was like a young woman's body on the side of the high. And I was just like, you know, no, I just don't want to be entertained by this. I mean, I knew I wouldn't be entertained by it, but I also, there's some things I object to just as entertainment. A friend of mine and I are discussing the most recent episode of Downton Abbey in that light, using violent things as plot points and ways to move a story forward. That's why I didn't like The Kite Runner. It bugged me. But read Gone Girl. Really, I mean, enjoyed it very much. It's dark. It wasn't as dark as I thought it was going to be. It was one of those books I really looked forward to getting to. It was a fast read and a worthwhile read. So I liked it. If you haven't read it and I haven't spoiled for you in some way, read it. I am reading a really good book called Low Collision Crossers by Nick Now I can't. Dadioff. That's a hard D-A-W-D-I-O-F-F. He spent a year with the Jets and the New York Jets, the football team. I'm not a huge football fan. I watched a lot of football growing up. Will and I were talking about it last night, and I think my thing about football, he was talking about how he doesn't like a running game. And I said, and I think so much of football is a running game as opposed to a passing game. I love watching quarterbacks throw the ball. I like a good passing game. Seems like there's a lot of running games. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. But this is a really good book. And I love good sports writing because it's just good writing. And it's about, Rex Ryan, and who's a very colorful personality. He's the Jets coach. And it's a lot. It's neat. It's a bunch of really good character studies. So if you like football, if you like just good nonfiction writing, I would recommend it. I don't love the title, Low Collision Crossers. I think it sounds cool when you first hear it or read it, but it's very hard to remember. So, because it doesn't mean anything if you're not really into football. And it's hard to hold on to phrases that don't mean anything. I'm reading a book that I got for Christmas. It's very good, although I'm having to read it very slowly. It's called Old Ways by Robert McFarlane, who's an English writer. And he's a walker, and he's following old roads in UK, in the UK, and I think he also in Europe. He may go on the El Camino de Santiago. Is that right? The St. James Way, which is a very famous pilgrimage. And if you've never seen the movie The Way, I'm sure I've talked about it. I watch it every Thanksgiving with Martin Sheen is wonderful, I think. Anyway, so it's a book about his experiences on these old roads, and I find it very interesting. But when he's walking around England, there are all these places. I realize I don't really, I know I've only been to England once. I spent a week in London, or several days, and I don't even know if it was a whole week, but I went to London once a long time ago. I really don't know anything about England. London, Liverpool, the Lake Region, but as far as real place, Sussex and whatever. But there are a lot of places that don't, the names don't ring a bell, and they're just odd enough, that sometimes as I'm reading this book, I find myself sort of skimming, not because I'm not interested, because I'm not, my mind is not making a real connection with these place names, and I can't place myself geographically. I'm having to get out maps of England, calling them up online to I was like, what is he talking about? But that's been an it's, so it's been a very interesting reading experience because it's the book is in English, but it's not in my English, and the place names are vaguely, English, but they're not really names I know. So, yes. But it is. I'm slowly making my way through it, and I do like it very much as a walker myself. I got The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt for Christmas. I'm slogging through it a little bit, although the writing is beautiful, and so parts of it I'm not slogging through. And I would say the first, it's a long book. It must be 500 some pages at least, maybe more. It may be 700 pages. And yeah, she's a great writer. She's just sentence level writing is great, and in terms of painting characters and the whole thing, she's very, very good. But the main character is a drug addict, and I just have I just find it the trials and tribulations of alcoholics and drug addicts, I have just limited patience for in literature. And maybe because it's like I've read a lot of novels that feature alcoholic or drug addicted young men. It's like, okay, yeah, let's move on. So it's hard. And part of it's because they make a lot of stupid decisions. And if you're an addict, you're just in this constant cycle of addiction. And yeah, I'm just kind of like, so I mean, and I'm looking at it right now. I am well over three quarters of the way done with this novel. And I'm just like, oh yeah, I should finish that. And I will finish it. But there's whole sections of the book which are wonderful, which are just the best kind of fiction, and you're really caught up and interested in it, and so it's just weird. It's a weird book, but that's what I'm reading. That's my book report for the moment. I'm about to go to the grocery store. I finished a draft on Tuesday, so I have been doing other work this week, and Monday I'll go back to work on some other writing. But it's kind of nice to have a Friday where I'm just like, yeah, it's 10:30 in the morning. I'm recording my podcast. I'm going to go to the grocery store. Going to take a walk. That kind of thing. I'm looking over at Travis. I said the W word. Oftentimes that gets him running for the door. He knows W-A-L-K and he knows T-R-E-A-T. Those are two of his favorite words in the world. So yes, I think that's it for now. I'm going to wrap up with the hopes of getting this posted soon. I hope the next time I come back to you, I will have all kinds of quilty progress to report. I do think I had this idea. I need to finish my paper piecing quilt, and I'm very close to being done with it. And I thought, one of my goals this year is to get back on the saddle on my sampler quilt with Jay. And I thought, since I've been doing this paper piecing, although I haven't done any in a few weeks, I'm a little scared. Like, oh, do I remember how? I'm going to do that paper piecing block for my sampler quilt. Won't Jay be proud? Okay, I hope this finds you well. I hope it finds you getting lots of fun quilty time in. I hope you are. I hope you're taking care of yourself. Let's take care of ourselves this year. Yes, let's do. And in the meantime, let's eat some chocolate. Let's, go to town. Let's go to town. See, I have no idea how to finish this thing. I'm just going to blabber on. So let's say goodbye, farewell, best of luck. See you next time.